proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible program. We continue looking at the call of Isaiah, as described in Isaiah chapter number 6. After Isaiah experienced his vision of God, he exclaimed, quote, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Unquote. Only when Isaiah beheld God in his holiness and in his majesty, only then did that prophet fully realize his own sinfulness. What did God do about Isaiah's sinfulness? One of the seraphim approached the prophet carrying a live coal from an altar. He laid it on Isaiah's mouth, saying, quote, "This hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." Unquote. There are several things about this transaction we need to take notice of. First, it was God who initiated the cleansing process. Isaiah did not ask God to purify him. God did that on his own initiative. In the first chapter of Isaiah, God described that prophet's contemporaries as, quote, "sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors," unquote. God informed those Jews that, quote, "your iniquities have separated between you and God," unquote, a statement recorded in the 59th chapter of Isaiah. People took no steps to breach the gap between themselves and God. Indeed, according to Psalm 14, quote, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God," unquote. When God did so, he found that, quote, "they are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one," unquote. Rather than turning to God and asking him for forgiveness, people kept sinning against God. Nonetheless, God reached out to all those who spurned him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul informed the believers in Corinth that, quote, "God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto him," unquote. It was God, and not man, who took the initial steps of reunification between himself and the human race. Even godly individuals need divine purging to become more fruitful. As Jesus Christ told his disciples in John chapter 15, that God the Father purges them that they might bear more fruit. According to 2 Timothy chapter 2, a fruitful servant, having been purged by God, quote, "shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work," unquote. The procedure inflicted upon Isaiah equipped him to serve as God's messenger and emissary to the Jewish people. God's cleansing had lasting effects on Isaiah. The writers of the 10th chapter of Hebrews pointed out that under the Mosaic law, the Jewish people needed to offer animal sacrifices for sin on a continual basis. Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, by contrast, the author of Hebrews remarked how, quote, "we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all," unquote. Isaiah needed to receive divine purging for his sins before he could effectually serve as God's emissary. God provided that cleansing. God reached out to Isaiah rather than requiring that prophet to come unto him. It was a process of cleansing that proved painful. However, it also proved efficient. There's no record that Isaiah needed to be continually cleansed in such a manner to continue serving God. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible program.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.